If you'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 again today, 1 Kings 17, the unusual workings of God. We're going to go right on with that this morning, the unusual workings of God, and chapter 17. If you're blessed, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm going to leave better than I came. How about you, in Jesus' name? 1 Kings 17 and 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman, talking about the widow who owned the house, became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Well, that's an accusation, isn't it? "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow that I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Now look who's getting the blame. Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "Oh, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." How many of you appreciate the truth today of the Word of God? Jesus, we praise you for the Word. We thank you that your Word is always good for us, even when it speaks and convicts us of sin. And Lord, we thank you for the power of your presence in this room today. And God, because the Word's already inspired, we just thank you for the strength and the anointing to preach it today. And we give glory to you in Jesus' wonderful name, and to God be the glory. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. The unusual workings of God. I began in chapter 17 last week talking about the widow of Zarephath. Elijah had prophesied under the anointing of God that there would be no dew and no rain. Remember, for 3.5 years. A severe drought followed his prophecy, with brooks drying up and with crops withering and people at the point of starvation. As the result of all that, the king and others among the people blamed Elijah for the drought. So he prophesied, he told what was going to happen, they blamed him instead of God. God had provided for Elijah, remember, while he was in hiding by sending the ravens to feed him. Then God sent him to a widow in Zarephath, a widow that had just enough food to feed herself and her son. Just one more meal. She really believed that they were both going to die. Have you ever been at the place you thought you were going to die? I have. But instead, God sent Elijah, and through him, as he spoke the promises of God, something happened to the widow. The Lord provided. He provided because of his promise, but also because why? The woman obeyed the word. There's something to obeying the word of the Lord. It will change your life and bring God's best to you. So until rain would come again, the Lord provided flour and he provided oil for cooking every day. Every day. Can you imagine not having to go to Piggly Wiggly to get your food? So, you know what? He is Jehovah Jireh. How many of you know he's really the provider? The Lord is the daily divine provider for all who believe. If we know him and trust him and believe in him, he will meet our need, won't he? Doesn't Matthew 6:33 say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his will, and all the things we have need of will be added unto us." So he really is Jehovah Jireh. And Elijah and the widow experienced that back in the Old Testament. Our story picks up today with Elijah staying in the guest room where the widow and her son lived. Now keep in mind, again, that every day God was continuing to provide the flour and the oil needed to survive. Has anyone here really gotten to the place spiritually and physically to where you realize you need the Lord to survive? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you know you really need the Lord to survive? See, living here without the Lord and having no hope of future and eternity, listen, that's not the kind of survival we're talking about. God will bless you. God will bless me. I need Jesus to survive. Point number one ties in with a lot of our preaching and teaching lately. God always keeps His promises. He always keeps His promises. Can you imagine eating food every day that is made from ingredients that God has provided? I want you to think about that. Going to your cupboard every day and pulling out the oil that God has provided. I know it says Wesson, but God's is better. Can you say amen? But can you imagine that? Never having to buy Wesson oil again, or at least until the rain came. Can you imagine her taking the flour and making bread with ingredients that come from God? Think about that. I've got a feeling. This will hold me over till I get through. I've got a feeling that was some good bread. I wonder what they thought every time they ate. I wonder if they remembered how close to death they were until God showed up with His promise and fulfilled His promise. You think I can preach and eat at the same time? Oh, Jesus. Tastes pretty good. Not from Walmart. Not from Food Line, Mary. Not from Piggly Wiggly. But from Mama's kitchen. With ingredients supernaturally provided. Has anybody here ever had God supernaturally provide for you? Speak to somebody. Maybe your bag of flour didn't stay full, but you were in need and God sent someone with exactly what you need. Raise your hand around this place today. He knows who you are and He knows what your need is, doesn't He? Elijah, the widow, and her son were living not just on the spoken promises of God, but on the possession of the promise. See, when God makes a promise, He wants us to get to the place that we receive the promise. And we live on the promise. We live on it before we receive it, but we definitely live on it once we receive it. Amen. They were experiencing the promise of God fulfilled in their lives. When? Every day. Say it with me. Every day. Oh, verse 16, if we go back to verse 17, for the jar of flour was not used up, the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord had spoken by Elijah. How many of you know God will supply in keeping with the word that He's already spoken? He will move according to the word He's already inspired. He's already spoken. He will move according to the word He's spoken to your life. Because whatever He speaks to you concerning you and your need and what supply you are in need of, whatever He speaks to you will always line up with this. Amen? So you can count on what God has to say. Elijah spoke the word of the Lord. The woman believed the promise. She put her faith into action through obedience. And they enjoyed the fulfillment of the promise every day. Is anybody here blessed? Are you really blessed? I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. One more time. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Are you really blessed? Are you really blessed? If you are, just lift your hands for a moment and thank Him for every day blessing. God, every day You bless us with good things. Your mercies are new every morning, every day. And God, we just want to say thank You to that. And if anybody realized that, even in the Old Testament, it had to be the widow and her son and the prophet Elijah. The second point I want us to see this morning is this. The blame game will never produce a winner. The blame game will never produce a winner. Placing blame. It's hard to believe that Elijah and the widow began placing blame on others while experiencing daily God's miraculous provision. Isn't that something? They're experiencing a miracle from God every day, and yet they begin to blame. Flour and oil were coming from heaven. Mama's bread was truly heavenly tasting. But in the midst of blessing comes another testing. In the midst of blessing comes another testing. Has anybody experienced that besides me? God's blessing, God's moving, He's answered prayer. You're excited about who He is. Then another test. So many things come our way that will test our faith. Anybody had your faith tested recently? If I get it back, would you understand what I mean? See, what happened next in our text was a true test of faith. The widow's son became ill. He got worse and worse, and then he died, according to the Scripture. Verse 18 tells us that she blamed Elijah. What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? So as her son died, she began to think about sins of her life and her past. Not all testing is from God. Not all testing is from the devil. But your life is going to be filled with test and trial. The widow blamed Elijah for her son's death. Now, if God had not sent Elijah to the widow when He did, she and her son would have already been dead. It doesn't tell how long it was after they had the oil continuing to flow, after the flour was increased on a daily basis. It doesn't tell how long that miracle happened before the son died. But here they are experiencing the miraculous, and the woman blames Elijah, but yet she's really blaming herself. Because she says, because of my sin, have you come to kill my son? How many of you know your flesh and the devil will cause you to point the finger at other people when things go wrong? And sometimes when we're in the midst of a test, if we're not careful, we blame everybody but us. Now, verse 20 tells us that Elijah is now blaming God. He cried out to the Lord, have you brought tragedy upon this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die? God, what are you doing? Lord, why are you killing her son? Think about it. How many impossible situations, how many tragedies will you have to go through before you decide to take them to the Lord? Did anybody catch that statement? How much do you have to go? How many tragedies? How many situations that you hate, that hurt and can bring destruction before you really trust the Lord? How many miracles will it take before you truly put your confidence in God's ability to provide? How many miracles before you can really believe God will take care of you? For some of us, it takes a lot. Come on, are you with me today? Am I telling you the truth? Look what God had already done for Elijah and through Elijah. Look what God had already done for the widow and her son. Look at the miraculous provision that we're already experiencing every day. Placing blame never produces a winner. Even if the other person's to blame in some things, let's just not keep pointing our finger, let's trust God to change them and help us. In life, we will be touched with the incurable. No cure. How many of you can relate to that in family or in your own life? In life, we will be touched with the unsolvable. Those things that have no answer. We'll be touched with the irreconcilable. No reconciliation between the two. In life, we will be touched with the unrealistic. Just can't happen. The impossible. All things are possible with God. And it seems like he breaks it down a little bit more and says all things are possible to him that believes as well. All these things I've just mentioned, the incurable, the unsolvable, the irreconcilable, the unrealistic, boil down to one word, irrevocable. Irrevocable means incapable of being reversed, repeated, or annulled. Irreversible. If I were to conclude the message at this point, it would be depressing. If I stopped right now, it would be a downer. Have I ever had a downer? I hope I hadn't preached a downer to you. I'm trying to look around and see who's smiling, who's not here. You know, I don't want you to leave depressed. I don't want you to leave down. Do you want to leave down? If you'll listen to the things I have and say in the next few minutes, you can leave here helped and free. Does anybody believe that? You can leave here helped and free. You can leave here different than how you came. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. The prophet Hananiah reminded King Asa that he had missed his opportunity to defeat Ben-Hadad, king of Aram. Asa put his trust in man instead of depending on God. Have you ever done that? In essence, this is what Hananiah the prophet was saying. You could have had God's help, but now you're in trouble. I wonder if there's anybody in this room that can relate to that. There's times God could have helped you and you wouldn't let Him or you wouldn't trust Him, and now you're in trouble. Has anybody ever wanted God to bail you out? Three honest people in here. Ah. See, Hananiah spoke the word of the Lord to Asa in verse 16. He says, the eyes of the Lord searches the whole earth in order to strengthen those who are fully committed to Him. I want you to let that sink in this morning. If there's anything God desires out of you and out of me, is a heart that's fully and totally committed to Him. The word there said He's looking, He's going back and forth across the earth, and He's looking for people who are fully committed to Him so He can strengthen them. Dear Lord, is there anybody here that needs strength today? Is there anybody here that needs physical strength? Is there anybody here that needs overcoming power? Is there anyone here that needs physical or spiritual or help in some way, the strength of God? Just raise your hand real high. Did you know right now He's looking across this earth and He sees not only the hand, He sees the heart, He sees the need. And the reason He's doing that, He's looking for the fully committed. Not the half-hearted. Not people who don't want to hear preaching. Not people who don't want to worship. Not people who don't want to go to church, but people who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ with their life, with their heart, with their mind, with their soul. Fully committed. Asa missed the opportunity to depend on God and remained at war until his death. He missed the opportunity to get help from God. Is it possible that you and I could miss the opportunity to get help? People make choices every day that take them down a wrong road. Every day. Why? Have you ever looked back at your life and asked why and don't, it doesn't make sense? People make decisions that go against what they know and what they believe. But why? we don't understand why. We just do it sometimes. When things go wrong, who do you blame? A lot of wives feel like that's their purpose for being married. Getting the blame for everything that goes wrong by the husband, the children, and the family. And can I hear an amen from the women? Oh, there's a few of them afraid to say anything. When things go wrong, who do you blame? Your children? Your wife? Your employer? Your friends? Your job? When things go wrong, who do you blame? The widow blamed Elijah. Elijah blamed God. Wonder who God blamed. You ever heard of passing the buck? Well, I didn't do it. He did it. Nope, I didn't do it. She did it. No, it's not my fault. It's his fault. No, it's her fault. Anybody ever pass the buck besides me? See? The incurable is curable. The unsolvable is solvable. The irreconcilable can be reconciled. The irrevocable can be reversed. Jesus can reverse the curse. Jesus can reverse the curse no matter what it is. He can reverse the curse. He can take it off. He can take it away and totally do away with it. Number three, Elijah had a choice to make. First, he blamed God for the boy's death. I've blamed myself for not being there sometimes before a person died. Anybody else have wrestled with that? He blamed God for the boy's death. Now let's go to 1 Kings 17 and get back to verse 19. 17, verse 19 and 20. Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out, O Lord my God, have you brought this tragedy upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? So you can see, God, what are you doing? Why did you do this? Did you bring me here for the son to die and me get to blame? Did you bring me here for you to kill this boy, to take his life? He blamed God for the boy's death. But I like the first word. I like the first word in verse 24, the word then. Anybody ever been critical? Anybody ever spoke negatively? You know, if you get critical towards someone or you get negative about things, it's all right to go to God and tell Him. You ought to shut the door to your bedroom or somewhere you go. And if you have to scream and yell to get it out, talk to God about it. God, I don't like this person. I don't like this. Just complain, but complain to God. Are you hearing me today? If you're going to criticize, God, nobody but you and me, but God, I'm just telling you right now how that person is. And be critical of them between you and God. Get it out of your system. Don't tell everybody in the church. Don't tell your family. Don't tell your neighbor. Tell God. If you want to get it out, don't spread it to the community. Don't spread it to your brothers and sisters. Don't spread it among us. If you've got something negative to say, then get in God's presence until the negative is gone. It's all right to complain. It's all right to be critical. But just if you're doing it in God's presence and getting it out. So then we come together, you don't look at me and have that critical spirit toward me and I don't have it toward you. Let's bring it to God. Let's get in His presence. Let's deal with it. Let's get it over so God can continue to work the miraculous in our lives. And he shut the door with him and that dead boy and he began to complain to God. But after he got through complaining, he says, he put his faith into action. Is that good advice to you or not this morning? Verse 21 says, three times he laid on top of the dead boy. Three times he declared, Oh my Lord God, let this boy's life return. Let this boy live. Let him live. Let him live. Let him live. So after he got through complaining and blaming, he got down to serious business with his faith and with his God. And he said, God, I know who you are. And he said, God, heal this boy. Bring him back to life. God did not respond to the woman or Elijah's placing blame. Matter of fact, if we point fingers and blame each other, I'm not too sure he'll listen very well. He responded to faith that was put into action. God heard Elijah's cry of faith, and life came into the boy, and he carried the boy down to his mother. Now remember, they've already been experiencing the miraculous. Every day God's providing food for them to eat, keeping them alive. And then they begin to complain. And finally, Elijah gets hold of himself. I'm not going to complain anymore. Let's get this thing done. God, do a miracle. Bring this boy back to life. And I wonder if we just get really down to business with God, make sure everything's right between us and Him and others. If we get down to business to God, when we pray about some things, I've got a feeling miracles would happen. People would be coming out of that deathbed. God would do the miraculous in our family, our friends, and even in us. Are you still with me this morning? Hallelujah. God heard Elijah's cry. 1 Corinthians 17:24. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you're a man of God, that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Now I know. Is there anyone that can say with the widow today, now I know God is real. Now I know God heals. Now I know God provides. Come on, anybody in the house today can say that when you look back at your life and how He's provided for you. Now I know that you're a man of God. Now I know this God's word that you have spoken to us or to me. Elijah had a choice to make. He could have kept blaming. Well, Lord, maybe it was the woman's sin. Maybe that's why the woman died. Dear God, show me what to say to get this woman straightened out so we can pray for that boy to come back to life. No, God, you blew it. God, it's your fault. I wonder if while he was, it doesn't tell everything he prayed while he was closed in that room. I just wonder if he began to look at his own heart and say, okay, God, what's wrong with me? You know, if you get serious with God and say, God, show me what's wrong with me, guess what he'll do? He'll show you what's wrong with you. Elijah had a choice to make. Keep blaming God. Feel sorry for himself because the widow blamed him. Or get down to the business of using his faith. Some of us need to get down to business, the business of using our faith. If you need to tell God how you feel, go ahead. He can handle it. He's got the whole world. If He can hold the world in His hand, if He created everything that there is and ever will be, don't you know He can handle your criticism of Him? Don't you know He can handle it even when you doubt Him until you get to the place that you really believe? He can handle it. Tell Him. Get it off your chest. Then turn around and put your faith to work. Does anybody here ever have to wrestle with doubt? Come on, be honest. You ever wrestle with fear? Ever wrestle with depression? See, all these things are real. All these things are spirits that attack us. And sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, and we act like we shouldn't act. Sometimes we're not the person in Christ we ought to be. But listen, somehow we need to shake ourselves, you ever heard the expression, get our ducks in a row, and let God know we mean business with Him. Because when we mean business with Him, then God will work through us. He will work through you. He will do the miraculous. Turn around, put your faith to work. Irrevocable means incapable of being reversed, repeated, or annulled. Irreversible. Not with God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is your situation too difficult for Him? Will He work for you? Irrevocable. All the things we've mentioned, not with God. Now, I know the word you speak is truth. How many of you believe the word that's inspired, that's been spoken to us and for us, how many of you believe it's truth? Let me ask you a question. How many of you today believe the word I've been speaking to you is truth? Hallelujah. Then I want you to say it with me, please, this morning. Now I know the word you spoke is from God. Is anybody in this building today, watching by internet or in this service, that will say that I'm telling you the truth today? Raise your hand if I'm speaking the word of God to you. How many of you really know I am? Amen? Say it again. Now I know the word you spoke is from God. Do you mean it? Why don't you say it loud enough to where they can hear you over the internet? Ready? Now I know the word you spoke is from God. What matters when anybody preaches and teaches, what matters when people minister to us, is that what they speak is a word from God. We're not here to entertain. We're here to give you a word from God. I'm here to tell you what God thinks, what God feels, what God speaks. And if we will receive that, whoever's here, if they're preaching the word, whether they're sitting on a stool or not, and some do today, and they sit on a stool, and they preach. Some stand real still in one place, but if they're telling the truth of the word and speaking the truth, does it matter whether they run and shout or not? We get caught up in the emotions and all the stuff that we're used to when God may use somebody just standing in one place that can speak a profound word. Let's not get caught up in all the excitement. Let's get caught up in the word of God, who Jesus is, and realize when it's spoken, it will change our lives. Dear Lord, Elijah could have complained to God when he saw the widow picking up sticks for the fire. His first impression, I'm sure it wasn't too good. God, you sent me to a place where there's not enough. God, I thought I heard from you, and look what I'm going through. Anybody? Try pastoring for a while, and you follow the Lord and move to different places. And first few months, you think you're in heaven. And then the honeymoon's over. And you find that people are people everywhere you go. God loves people, and God wants to help people. Can you say amen to that? God, you sent me a place where there's not enough. That's what he could have said. Instead, he believed God. He followed his commands, and life and provision came to Elijah, the widow, and her son. So I guess the bottom line is today is this. We just need to simply surrender all. Everything to the Lord. Commit everything to God. Your family, your health, your finances, your life, your soul, your heart. God's looking for people who need help. Amen? And need His help. And He's looking for those to strengthen who are fully committed. I've not always been fully committed, have you? Have you? You and I have to make a decision. See, His strength can become your strength. His strength can become your strength. Will you stand with me? God really does work in unusual ways, doesn't He? Supernatural ingredients. There's times we've wondered if we'd have enough food when people would show up. And somehow it would stretch. Has anybody ever experienced that? There's times when our cupboard has been bare. We told no one but God. Didn't have the money to buy groceries. Nothing in the house. And that's the truth. Somebody come see us and give us cash or a check, or on the way out, give us a handshake with $20, $30 in it. God's faithful. he can supply oil to a widow who is about to die, and flour to make bread to keep them alive until the rain comes, he can sure take care of you. I don't know the problems we face. I don't know all that you're going through. But I know he's more than enough. Do you believe that today? Will you receive that? He's Jehovah Rapha who heals.